You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
On The Big Picture today, I'm speaking to Ralph Dixon. He's on the board of trustees of Malaysian AIDS Foundation and also the director of environmental investments at YTL Corporation Berhad and YTL SV Carbon. We're talking today about responsible recovery from global crisis, the environmental investment and carbon consulting business over at YTL. Welcome to the show, Ralph.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the Kyoto Protocol's Clean Development Mechanism, the CDM, allows companies in developing countries to qualify to sell carbon credits or certified emission reductions in global commodity markets when they cut their output of environmentally harmful substances. Ralph, could you explain how an organization actually sells its carbon credits?
The Kyoto Protocol set up the Clean Development Mechanism so that developed countries could basically offset some of the inability to reduce their carbon emissions with developing countries, where the transfer of finance and technology are the two key components to allow developing countries to tap into developed countries' finance and technology, reduce their carbon emissions, and then sell those emission reduction certificates to the developed countries. So it's a kind of offset and a trading system between developed and undeveloped countries.
So how much is the global trade in carbon markets worth today?
Well, probably this year you're talking about, 20, 30, even possibly 40 billion US dollars. It's a very mature and established market.
Who dominates this trading scheme at the moment?
At the moment, there's a few key global players who basically are traders in primary and secondary credits. Obviously, the generators of the credits are the project developers themselves, such as the CDM project developers in developing countries. So they generate as sellers of credits. And then you have the buyers who are commonly referred to as compliance buyers. These buyers could be governments or corporations. Of course, the biggest emitters of carbon credits in Europe would be, in terms of compliance buyers, would be the utilities companies, because you get people like RWE, E.ON, EDF, who generally would have the highest requirement for offsetting some of their carbon emission reduction targets.
Okay. The Kyoto Protocol expires in 2012. What do you see the successor of this mechanism?
We actually see very much the same type of structure continuing post-2012. I would see the main differences to what we have now is probably some new methodologies. Methodologies refer to different types of methods of carbon emission reductions, which are actually stated under the Clean Development Mechanism. So we could get an introduction, for instance, of reduced emissions through deforestation and degradation, commonly known as REDD. If that was brought in, it would mean that if you don't deforest an area of rainforest, for instance, you would be able to receive credits for that avoided deforestation. The other areas, of course, could be places like shipping, air travel, but those would mostly be for the European Union allowance or the ETS, where you get offsets or joint implementation projects within the European Union. That would be between member states of the European Union rather than under Clean Development Mechanism. So the biggest changes would probably be new methodologies with the developing countries such as REDD.
Okay. Can you tell us, Ralph, why YTL decided to venture into carbon trading?
YTL already has quite a strong initiative in terms of the Climate Change Week they host every year. I think we've had that for 3 years running now. The Climate Change Week basically pushes forward on advocacy of environmental and climate change awareness issues, such as emission reduction mitigation activities. So one of the key areas to get more visibility and more of a broader window on technologies, clean technologies, which we think is going to be a big growth area, is to actually tap into the Clean Development Mechanism. And the easiest way to do this was to acquire a carbon consulting company so that we could get a window on some of these technologies. Of course, as a standalone business, it has to make sense in terms of its own P&L to stand by itself.
Okay, and what are some of the benefits to the company?
Well, we've actually seen a lot of interesting technologies being moved around. So Some of these we could use within the group, waste heat recovery projects, biogas projects. A lot of these we have with Wessex Water, for instance. We generate about 11 megawatts of power with biogas. Whilst this was already existing, we obviously see a lot of new technologies in this area and probably lower cost technologies which emerge as clean technology investment rises. And of course, for the power production as well, gas and coal-fired power, there's a lot of energy efficiency and fuel switching, even for cement industry as well, a lot of fuel switching initiatives. And that's probably a big area for Malaysia as well, is the use of the agricultural residue, biomass waste.
I'm speaking to Ralph Dixon, the Director of Environmental Investments at YTL Corp Berhad. And how many projects are you handling, Ralph, at the moment? And what's your target over the next 5 years?
We've actually, since the acquisition of SV Carbon, which became YTL SV Carbon, we've actually got 14 registered projects and are now the largest project consultant for CDM in Malaysia and the third largest in ASEAN. So we've actually grown the business quite well. Of course, it's very focused on the palm oil sector, about 85% of those projects in palm oil. And we have a further pipeline of about 50 projects. Again, the focus of 80% of those projects is largely palm oil related, biogas, biomass, composting, etc.
How much value does the CDM add to make them lucrative?
Well, the principle of additionality, which is one of the key principles of the Clean Development Mechanism, means that a project would not have gone forward in the absence of carbon credits. So it means that carbon credits are essential to the project to make it viable, i.e. it pushes it above a threshold level of, say, if the base lending rate in a country is 5-6%, then if your investment return, your project IRR, was around that level, it would probably be marginal because you'd be paying the bank off for a lot of the equity borrowing. So if the carbon credits actually push that level to, say, 11-12%, a good 4-5% above the base lending rate, that would mean that the carbon credits are making a big difference to the viability of the project. And of course, in the case of Malaysia, in terms of ASEAN, Malaysia has the most number of projects registered, and I'd say probably the most number of projects in the pipeline, although Indonesia is catching up fast. So it's a very important mechanism.
Okay. Now, which are the targeted industries of Malaysia that YTL SV Carbon will consider?
Well, as I said earlier about the palm oil sector being quite important because of the biomass residue that's produced, you get a tremendous amount of empty fruit bunch and palm kernel shell, and of course the liquid waste, which comes in the form of the palm oil mill effluent. So there's a lot of waste stream from our agricultural sector. Even the rice and sugar cane and other agricultural products have a lot of waste product, but obviously not as much and not as concentrated or homogenous as the palm oil sector. So clearly that's a big area. Cement is another area. Utilities, because power's definitely going to become an issue in, say, 10 years' time in terms of supply-demand issues. So renewable energy is a very important area, which, again, goes back to the palm oil sector and agricultural residues.
Okay. Ralph, could you explain the workings of these environmental initiatives?
Well, basically, the if you want to know about the CDM mechanism itself and how that process works, it's actually a 12-month process to get the application for the CDM projects in place and approved, or what we call registered. So the environmental initiatives that we focus on are largely verified emission reduction projects, which are called VERs, or CERs, certified emission reduction projects. Both of those have similar processes. They have to go through initially a screening process of due diligence. You get a validation, which is done by what they call the DOE. The DOE is basically an auditor who represents the United Nations or the EU, and that auditor will then approve the projects. That then goes through a further process of a stakeholder meeting to make sure that all the local communities, environmental and other social issues are addressed, and finally goes to the EB at the UN, the Executive Board, or the EU, if it's a verified emission reduction project, for final registration. So it's a very long process and requires quite a bit of work, with the core being what they call the project design document. This is the PDD, which represents the justification for the project itself. So it's a 12-month process, which costs anything between 100 to 300,000 ringgit. And, of course, requires a number of skilled personnel in the process.
BFM 89.9, the business station.